It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And it is time on a Monday to check in with Michael Phillips as it is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
First of all, Michael Phillips, where were you yesterday? Because there was an empty seat next to me in the press box.
I was enjoying the game on color television, sitting at home watching football.
Not a bad way to do it, especially with Ian and Charles on the call. I watched the condensed game back this morning, which means I didn't get enough Charles, but they had a good call. They were on top of things. They're smart guys.
Ian's a top five play-by-play football guy for sure, and that's a good cruise. We're at the point now where it used to be like to get a good crew is a treat. Now you just kind of expect it because they're big national names. Like people want to watch Jaden Daniels play. It's also nice because you have the bigger crew, you get better replay angles. We were decidedly lacking in one replay angle that would have been very helpful yesterday, but otherwise it was good.
Yeah. Let's tackle that real quick, Michael. Not so much the call. Well, one, like, what did you think of the call itself? Two, is there any good reason why there is not a high-definition 8K camera that just travels with, I don't want to say with the sticks, but, like, above the sticks so that there is always a downline angle that seemingly is never available at the biggest moments of the game in an incredibly predictable spot, the first down marker? Like, what? It's a multi-billion operation, a multi-billion-dollar operation. What are we doing?
You're trying to solve it within the bounds of, like, the system that exists. Put a chip in the ball. Like, how difficult is it?
Sure.
We got GPS chips. Like, just put a chip in the ball, and it'll tell us where the ball is. It'll tell you. I don't know. That one seemed pretty easy for a while. But then in the preseason, remember, they did that thing where they were, like, going to do it electronically, and it was a mess. And I'm unclear how we can't get this technology working. But, put a camera on the sticks. Put a chip in the ball. It seems like both of us have solved the problem pretty easily without significantly denting the bottom line. Maybe sell some extra nachos or something, and we're good.
Yeah, I mean, now we need a poll question. Poll question for NFL fans. Would you pay collectively an extra 10 cents per nacho order if it funded extra cameras that got first downs right? Or chips in the balls?
I dare to suggest they may be able to find the money in the current budget as well.
Michael, we can fix the nachos this way. Sorry, I just stepped on your Jerry Jones curtain joke. Damn it, that was good. That was good. Son of a gun. I was gonna say we can just we can say like 10% less jalapenos, and the money we save on the jalapenos on the nachos. Your curtain joke was better. We should talk about football now. All right.
It was a bad call. But it was a predictably bad call, right? I just think 99 times out of 100, they're going to come out from under the hood and say the call stands in that moment. What bothered me was not that the call stood, because we've seen that a million times. What bothered me was how bad the initial spot was. If he had spotted it just right there, it was really close. We all saw it was really close in real time, but the initial spot was a full yard away. I thought that was a pretty bad miss out of the gate.
Yeah, that was horrendous. And there's no way they shouldn't have at least respotted the ball. But there's also a bunch of other stuff that happened. And my point on the officiating, just to wrap this up for those that are just tuning in, was not that that call cost them the game. It obviously, by definition, cost them a chance to continue their pursuit. But there is no way of knowing whether TJ Watt would have gotten a strip sack on the very next play had they gotten a first down. I do know that they missed a TJ Watt getting held in the end zone that should have been a safety.
Yeah.
They also missed, Dante Jackson getting held on a field goal. So there were bad calls both ways. That's not an excuse other than to say the officiating was bad and they should stop having bad officiating in a multi-billion dollar enterprise. Okay.
Yeah,
it's
predictable, but there's a lot of football to get to here too.
Yes.
Yeah.
As for the guys in not striped uniforms, Jaden yesterday, I think you could say he looked the most like a rookie that he has so far, or you could say he looked like a quarterback that was playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. How much of this do you think is maybe someone finally figured something out with him versus, oh no, that was the Steelers and they are different?
the Steelers are so good, right? They can do things other teams can't do. And you saw them triple-teaming T.J. Watt at times, bringing the running back over to bring a little extra chip on him. I mean, that's incredible, right? Like, that is respect right there for a football player. And they're still making plays. Everybody else is still out in space making things happen. The Steelers are so good. I think what's interesting to me is going to be to watch Steelers-Ravens this week. And I know Tomlin did the whole, like, oh, that's Mr. Jackson bit. But it will be instructive to see how successful this group is against Lamar Jackson. And Lamar's played so many times against them, right? You know, can he crack this code? Because they've been good for a while, but I said it on your show last week. I think this is the best defense in football. And if you tell me Jayden Daniels did what he did against the best defense in football, I'd say, okay, I do think I'd take that. I think the future is bright there. And for his first crack at that, I think there were moments and I think there were signs that, you know, that this isn't indicative of how the next 7 weeks are going to go, right? Sometimes you have, oh, this team stopped this guy. The tape is out. The formula is out. Everybody knows how to do it now. Not everybody has those pieces. Not everybody can do what the Steelers did.
Right. Yeah, the plan is to have Jayden miss a throw that he's hit all year on a high cross to Luke McCaffrey out of his own end zone. Just make sure he misses the throw with minimal-ish. Or maybe if you have T.J. Watt, it can be good pressure. If you don't have T.J. Watt, you're probably not getting that pressure there. So that's the plan everybody else is going to replicate. Go get after it.
And it's not that they haven't dropped passes this season, Craig, because they have. But they sure dropped passes in some really bad spots yesterday.
Yeah, Ertz had one that hit him like in the chest. There's the one that OZ probably normally catches across the middle. That throw was a little bit wide. Jayden was definitely his most inaccurate yesterday and the most sped up yesterday. But I think the thing that was the most interesting about what Pittsburgh was able to do to him, and again, Daniels played pretty well. Like, I will say he probably graded out worse because of some of the inaccuracies. But like decision-making-wise, I thought he was pretty solid still. He just didn't execute as high of a level. The thing that was stunning to me, Michael, was how they were able to corral him as a runner. They had a very distinct plan in the zone read game, which is if you're unblocked, go get Daniels. And if he doesn't have the ball anymore, don't pick up a dumb penalty. But you run right at him, and then we'll trust our run defense on the front side if he hands it off on his own read. So that was good. But also the fact that he didn't scramble at all yesterday. What did you make of that? And I'm curious if Ian and Charles talked about that at all on the broadcast as it went, as you were watching and were having your own thoughts on it.
Yeah, not extensively, just to point out the numbers that these were season and career and all those lows for Jayden Daniels. I don't know that it was injury related. I think it was far more a super disciplined Pittsburgh Steelers defense, right? I don't think it had anything to do with the ribs, although obviously he's still wearing the warming pack. Like, there's still something there. But I don't think he was like under a directive not to run. They did call the designed run for him. That just didn't do anything. I think, especially with Brian Robinson out, I think it made it easier to make that the game plan, right? Five's not going to beat us with his legs. And we'll see, where the chips fall from there. And Austin Ekeler had a very productive day, but it just wasn't the same as having that threat of B-Rob there where, he can move that pile Derrick Henry style and really open things up for the quarterback. On the other side, we talked so much about Russell Wilson last week. I feel it's right to tie it up with a bow. He doesn't even look to run anymore. Like, not that he was ever a mobile quarterback, right? He kind of got lumped in with those guys because he was in that draft class. But he doesn't even think about running anymore. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, he'll extend plays, and like, he used to run a little bit more, and he's just a smart runner. He's got the baseball background, so he slides really pretty, and it's like, look at Russell being all savvy. But like, he runs like Kirk Cousins, or like used to run, and neither of them obviously are running a whole lot anymore. But like, Kirk could move the chains. He ran a 4.8 at the combine. Russ is a little faster than that, but not much. As for the stuff that Russell Wilson does do, that Joker throws moon balls just the way that he is able to drop some of those in the bucket yesterday. Are those things where you're, I guess for lack of a better word, upset with the Commanders defense, whether it's call or execution, or do you just tip your hat to Russell and go, you and George Pickens are insane. Good job. You beat us.
What a catch that was in the first quarter, right?
Oh my God. That is... I kept frame by framing that one, Michael, on the All-22. And frankly, yeah. I rewound it like 3 times on the TV copy and was just like, what in the... At first, I was so mad at Igbinoghene for losing the football. And I was just like, dude, like, come on. I was like, he's playing where his hands are about to be. And Pickens just like turns his body from, I think, his right shoulder to left shoulder. Good job, Noah. Unfortunately, the ball was not where George Pickens telegraphed it to be, and human beings aren't supposed to be able to do that, unless they're in the circus.
That's why he's well compensated, to borrow Mike Tomlin's phrase. Yeah, he's just silly good. Yeah, I mean, coming into the game, I thought 21 was the number. If they held him to 21 points, I thought this offense could make enough plays to win, and I'm prepared to make the argument they did, and then they spotted him an extra 7, and that was maybe the difference.
Yeah. As far as the St. Juice play at the end, what do you like? I don't like the call there. I don't love leaving him in man-to-man situations in a big spot because we've seen that movie before. But what do you make of it? Whether him or the call?
Help's coming. So that's the good news here, right? Like help is coming. I don't like leaving him alone there against a receiver who you know is dangerous and a quarterback who you know is very dangerous accuracy-wise. I don't know, you know, how you want to make up for that, which guy you want to allocate back there, because you had a lot of things you need to cover for up front as well. That's part of what makes the Steelers a legitimate Super Bowl contender. That's kind of what I say to comfort myself, right? 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago, we were talking about how this is a team that's building towards the future. Well, the future is here now, which is very exciting, but they're also still building towards the future, and St. Juice isn't a CB1 in the National Football League, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks he won't have to be. He'll be able to be a CB2. We'll see. I don't know how immediately that's coming, but I know there's the chance that's coming. And I definitely know that this offseason they're going to go get guys and bolster this roster. And, you know, that's what helps me sleep at night, Craig. You know, that and drinking heavily after the losses, right? That's what we do to keep ourselves afloat here. You say, all right, they're in a good spot, and I think they're going to be in an even better spot next year. And all of this is bonus. And they held their own against a team that I think has a very legitimate shot to be in this year's Super Bowl if the Chiefs don't, you know, go undefeated and do that thing.
What deal did the Chiefs make with the devil?
It's insane. 9-0 and could be a very legit 5-4. Like 5-4 is probably the normal record for a team in those scenarios.
Yeah, probably. I mean, which also, by the way, you know what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks, right?
The Bills this week, so they'll find a way against the Bills, obviously.
No, that's not what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. The Bills are going to beat the Chiefs, and then
I think the Panthers are going to get them.
I mean, wacky.
That's the most NFL outcome.
It has been a year of wacky bits. No,
they do the miracle finish in Buffalo, walk it off, a kick drifts wide left, something, everybody loses their minds, 10-0. Then the Panthers just smoke them by like 20.
See, the way the schedule, I was really hoping that the Bills, I'm now looking at this, but the Bills were going to face the Patriots after the Chiefs. They don't. They face the Niners on Sunday Night Football, which makes this, but imagine for a second that they face the Chiefs, they beat the Chiefs, they end the streak, and then they lose to the Patriots. That's what the NFL, that would be the NFL thing. But I guess you're giving me the alternate version of that with the Chiefs side of it.
Yeah, just take it from the other side, right? Have them lose to the Panthers to end the streak. What I know is, like, there's the ones where it's like, okay, Mahomes made some magic, and then there's the fluky ones where it's like a short field goal got blocked. It's like short field goals never get blocked. That's just insane.
Right, until your left guard gets absolutely bamboozled and by George Karloftis and he lays out. By the way, the Bills schedule, not to turn this into a Bills bit, Chiefs, Niners, Rams, Lions.
The Steelers have a little bit of that too. Steelers have a brutal coming in stretch as well. I think they've got Eagles, Chiefs at one point back-to-back. Whoever makes it out of the AFC will have earned it for sure, and whoever makes it out of the NFC will be the Detroit Lions.
As for two teams trying to stop them, to bring things back to the Washington side of this, Michael Phillips, MP on the mic, 10 a.m. to noon on 910 The Fan in Richmond with us for his Monday spot here on the Hoffman Show. How do you look at this game? How do you size it up? How do you handicap this game on Thursday with Philadelphia? What do you feel good about for Washington, and what scares you for Washington?
It's fun. I love it, right? Playing for a division lead this deep in the season in a place where they've had success in recent years, right? Very few places where these guys have a track record of success in recent years, but this is one of them. They've held their own, including that big Monday Night Football win, certainly going all the way back, right? The Alex Smith win to make the playoffs there. They've had some success in Philly, and it's going to be a great game because you've got two really, really good football teams that Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels. You've got a great quarterback matchup. If Brian Robinson comes back, if you get some Lattimore, obviously you've got a team that's looking up. And, one of these teams is going to host a playoff game, and this game will go a really long way towards determining which team that is. And so at the beginning of the year, I said I love that this game is on Thursday night, Craig, because I believe that in Thursday night football, you'd rather be the underdog than the favorite. It's a short week, wacky things happen, right? It's the change factor as the underdog. I don't know that either team's definitively the underdog here. I think they're both good teams. This would not be out of place on a Sunday night football or a Monday night football, but we get it on Thursday instead, and I think it's going to be a treat of a football game.
No, I hope so. And, Al Michaels has had to sit through a lot of bad football the last couple of years since he took this Thursday night thing. He's like, all right, Amazon Prime, let's go. NBC didn't want me anymore. Our schedule is what? This crap versus that crap? And the last 2 weeks, he has gotten Bengals-Ravens, which is one of the games of the decade. Forget Thursday nighters. Games of the decade. And then he gets this one, which hopefully is equally as entertaining, and hopefully for our purposes, the Burgundy and Gold team winds up on top.
I'm going to need him to show some excitement, though. We've been lacking in the big calls this year. I'm going to need him to rise to the occasion.
I watched the second half of the Bengals-Ravens game back on the condensed game, and the way they cut that, like after one of the big plays, Al is just whining about the officials, which, considering how we started this conversation, to criticize him for that would be hypocritical. But we're talk show hosts, and he's doing the play-by-play, and I'm sure Roger's just like, Al, come on, man. But he's also correct. He's also correct, which brings us full circle, Michael. Referees, please be better. Roger, please give them the tools to be better. Too much money involved here in all of the ways. That could have been an Al Michaels underhanded gambling reference, Michael. It may have been.
There's a lot of people in the desert that are going to be very interested in that comment, Craig.
Well done. Well done. See you perhaps this weekend. My wife's going to run by your house this weekend.
And that's exciting. She's doing the Richmond Marathon, yeah, which is a great event. I will be up in Philly Thursday night. I'll wave at you as I drive by, and we'll be out cheering on everybody. I know a lot of folks here, and as always, you could not pay me enough to get out there and do it myself.
No, I would just be running the half, which you've told me does not go by your house. We'll have to figure out where, like, obviously off the air. We're not going to give out your address on the air, Michael, because that would be irresponsible. But we'll have to figure out where your house is on the route. And who knows, maybe I'll come to your house and then cheer my wife on from there. And then be like, Michael, I'm very hungry. I just ran 13 miles. Can I have a snack?
The beverages are cold. The takeout's good. We're happy to host the Hoffman's anytime.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, we'll be in touch. Hopefully I'll see you this weekend. And thanks as always for your time on the show. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Looking forward to it.
All right, it's Michael Phillips, everybody, with us here on the Hoffman Show. That would be kind of funny, Anthony, if I just, after I finished my race, I went to Michael's house, assuming that it's on the back half of the route somewhere. Because if it's on the front half, Rachel will have already run past his house.
Yeah.
That wouldn't help us very much.
Nope.
But also, I got to call our hotel down there and be like, hey, I know everyone else is probably asking this too that's staying here this weekend, but can we get a late checkout? Because like, I'll be all right. The race starts at 7 o'clock. My goal is an hour 50. So 7:15, I think, is when I start. So by a little after, or like by like 9:30,
yeah,
barring whatever late starts, whatever this, like I should be done. Hopefully around 9 o'clock I'm done. Right? I do that math right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good math.
Yeah. So I'll have time to go back to the hotel, because we're fairly close to the start-finish line, and shower and whatever. Rachel's got to run the second half of the marathon. By the way, if anyone ever asks you which half of the half, everyone should, so we're running a half marathon. Which half? The answer is the first half. The answer is the first half because miles 1 through 13 are very different than miles 13 through 26. Mm. She's got to run 13 through 26. And by the time she gets done, somewhere around 4 hours, we're hoping, the checkout might have passed.
Yep.
So I would like her to be able to take a second. So we got to figure out the details.
I forgot I'll be in Richmond this weekend too.
Wait, are you really?
Yeah.
When?
I have a wedding to go to on Saturday.
We should talk. Maybe you can cheer us on. You can get out there on the course, depending on where you are.
Well, I don't get down there until Saturday.
The race is on Saturday.
I know, but you
don't get Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, because you run at 7.
So does she.
Yeah, you both. Oh, I can catch you guys. Well, you'll probably be done by the time I
get. We're going to take a commercial break and figure out our private plans off the radio, and then we're going to come back and go around the NFL.